There are some things out there that are bigger than you alone. But there's nothing bigger than your God. In fact, if there's anything that was made, it was made by him. And so he has the ability, just with his words, to bring life and death, to open doors and shut doors. He can take something dead and make it alive for you. He can renew things. He can pardon anybody he wants. He can forgive those that he wants to forgive. He can bless you regardless of what anybody says. If God is present, if God is for you, who can be against you? And until you learn to get that scripture out of the book and into your heart, you'll read it, and as long as everything's going great, you'll say that verse. But the minute the lions and tigers and bears come, you'll question everything. And the Bible says, I want you to get this and get this clear. It says that anybody who has a wavery mind of one day they trust God, one day they don't, the next day they trust God, a wavery mind, he made this promise. They're tossed to and fro like the sea, the waves on the sea, going back and forth, and they're getting blown by the wind, and they don't even have their own ability. They're just kind of being tossed to and fro. He says, if there's anybody that has a mind in God like that, don't expect to receive anything from him. Don't expect to get anything from God as long as you're wavery. Because here's the promise. He is the rock of salvation, and he shall not be moved. And as long as you're on him, as long as you're in him, you're not wavery. Because it's not based on your ability to never be moved, but you're standing in the one who will never be moved. And so you have to learn to rely on God. You have to rely on God and not flesh. So many times we put the pressure on people to try to help us not feel wavery, to try to help us feel secure, to try to help us feel confident. But God says, if your confidence comes in man, then you are wavery. You're going to be up and down. And unfortunately, at the point in which the church should be standing ready to teach the whole world the presence of God and the goodness of God, we find ourselves looking like the world. As soon as a problem hits, oh, we question God. And we're up and down so much. And in the day and age that we're at today, if you've ever learned that you can't trust in man, it's today. You can't trust the governments. You can't trust the systems. You can't even trust the food that they put on the shelf. It's the day and age that you have to trust God. And if you trust him, your trust is not wavery. It's not up and down. Most people praise God when things go how they want them to go. But I've been teaching the worship team that your worship is most effective in the middle of crisis. In the middle of a problem, if you would learn to worship God who does not waver, in the middle of a wavering problem, a changing circumstance, you will get to see the glory of the Lord. I want you to know that the Bible says that God is very protective of his glory. But did you know that Jesus says, Father, I want them to have the glory that I have. Give them. I want them to participate in my glory. I want them to have my glory with me. Can you believe that God wants you to have it? Let me tell you how you'll never have it. When worship is going on, sitting on him. Yep. Won't get it. Hearing the word, rejecting it. Hearing what God says and walking away. Unforgiveness, block you every time. Looking at yourself. If you want to see the glory of God, you're going to have to look to him. And we're in a day and age where if you don't learn to look to him, the Bible says that in the last days, even the most elect, the people that you thought were high positioned in God, they're going to be deceived and fall away. Why? Because they weren't trusting in God. They were trusting in themselves. They were trusting in themselves. The test is on. You're in the place right now where God's testing to find out who trusts me and who doesn't trust me. And that's a great thing for those that trust God. Because you'll find that when God puts you through a test to trust him, It's because he's trying to promote you or bless you. If you will trust me, I can give you this. If you will trust me, I can make all things new. If you will trust me, I can separate you from your problems. If you would trust me, I can do a new thing. But if you don't trust me, there's nothing I can do for you. The Bible put it like this. Jesus, having the authority to do anything on the planet that he wanted to, he went to his own hometown to bless them. And because they didn't trust him, he said, I could do nothing. I have the ability to do it, but I couldn't do it for them. So I had to go to other places. Does God have to leave your house for his glory to be seen? Does God have to leave your conversation for his glory to be seen? Does God have to go find another worshiper because you're not really going to give him the honor? Does God have to go to another life? Does God have to go to another church for his glory to be seen? Or are we the ones? Are you the one? Are you the one? Maybe the devil tried to disqualify you. Maybe he told you, you don't have the right to be in God's presence. And if you do go to his presence, you're guilty. But the Bible said, my God is so good that anybody who would confess their sins and say, Lord, I'm coming to you, but here's all my life. You see it all. He says that the blood of Jesus, which he poured out by his free will wash you from all unrighteousness, and he will restore you, and he will give you a name with the family of God. He will give you eternal life. He will give you the power to be a child of God. That's a promise. And so when the devil tries to tell you, well, you can't access the presence and the glory of God because of this, this, and this, I want you to know the Bible says he is a liar. Every word he ever has spoke has been a lie. He even tried to use the word of God to Jesus to lie. He tried to get Jesus to walk in a lie by quoting scripture. And so you have to understand, anything that keeps you away from God is a lie. Anything, including the person sitting next to you right now. If they try to keep you from God, I love what Morgan said. She said, I'm going to worship God regardless of you, regardless of what's happening out there, and I'm going to make it about me and him. If you can learn to make your life about God and you, most of the problems you're dealing with will disappear. Most of the problems you have are in relationship with things that aren't in relationship with him. That's your biggest problem. And so the Bible says, come out from among them. Be separated. You know what separates us from the world? Not your good deeds. God's presence. You are hidden in him. You've been separated from death by entering into life. You've been separated from darkness by entering into the light. You've been separated from old things by coming into the new thing. So if you stay in the old thing, you're on the wrong side of separation. God is calling us in to a blessed life, into eternal life. Can I show you that God wants his glory to be seen by you and me? Can I show you this? Here's my message today. Lord, let me see your glory. Let me see your, I want to be so close to you that I get to see the radiance of your glory come out. I want to feel it. I want it to touch my body and my circumstances. I want your glory to be my treasure. My prize is your presence. So often we're chasing what we think God can do for us, and we don't care whether he's present or not. Just give me what I want, because that's my treasure. But for those of us who trust him, the treasure is God's presence. For where God is, there's life. Where God is, there's freedom. Where God is, there's mercy. Where God is, there's grace. Where God is, there's love. Where God is, there's power. Everything that I've ever thought to pray, and even what I haven't, only comes from him. So where do I need to be today? In his presence. In his presence. Can I show you how to get into his presence? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 33. The great man Moses is going to give us a little help. And I want you to know, anything you see in the Old Testament, Jesus fulfilled in the New Testament. There's so many things you read about in the Old Testament, it seems like an old story, when really the drama is being played out between you and Christ right now. You read it in the Old Testament and it seems like, wow, David and... No, but it's talking about me, you, and Christ. It's talking about today. So I'm going to show you, we're going to read from Deuteronomy 12 all the way to 23. If you have it, say amen. Amen. You know what? I think I lied to you. I want Exodus 33. You know how I knew that? Because it wasn't there when I got there. Starting at verse 12, Exodus 33. And Moses said to the Lord, see, thou says unto me, bring up this people. Moses was leading God's people into a promised place. Right now, all of us, if you're a Christian, you're being led to a promised place. Everybody here is expecting to inherit heaven and eternal life, right? Are you? Yeah. If you're a Christian, raise your hand. Well, just so you know, right now you're in the wilderness. You're on your way there. And until you cross the final Jordan, which is in, you leave this body, until you go into your forever eternity, you're still in the wilderness. And that's why Scripture said, Lord, don't take them from this world. Let them be in the world, but not of the world. And what he was saying was, Lord, lead them through this wilderness into everything that we have prepared for them. So I want you to see yourself going through the wilderness. I want you to know that if you're in the wilderness, there's still problems. There's still things that aren't working by God's design, but here you are, made in God's image, called by God, blessed by God, favored by God, empowered by God, and present with God, being ushered through a world that's not going to obey Him, that's not going to hear Him, and that despises His presence, so therefore despises you. And He's going to lead you into everything that He has already made. It's already made. It's already made. Look at your neighbor and say, it's already done. Now God is leading you into it. So Jesus put it like this. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Help us through this world into everything that you have planned for us. So Moses is leading God's people. And he said, you said to me, bring up this people. And thou, you haven't let me know whom thou will send with me. Wait a minute. Lord, you can't just send me in my strength to bring these, your people, through the valley of death. If I'm going to bring your people where you tell me to bring them, I need more than me. And what I want you to know is you don't become a Christian and then lead yourself across the wilderness and try to, in your own moral capability, just be good. Good isn't the answer. There is none good but God. He says anybody within their own righteousness that tries to receive the righteousness of God, you come up short because our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. So the best that we can do in our own strength is to offer God something that's filthy to Him. So you have to come to the conclusion, I need you. Yes. I need you, Lord. Yes. And I need you today. I need you right now. I need you going into my future. But so often we'll say like this, Lord, give me some money so I won't need you. Lord, give me a relationship with a person so I won't need you. Lord, give me this job so I won't need you. And we're asking for stuff to not be reliant on Him. We want stuff to take His place. And we ask Him to His face. And we don't even know we're playing out the prodigal son. Give me my inheritance so I can leave you. Give me my stuff so I can walk away from you, not so I can be present in your home. But I want my stuff from you so I can leave you. So Moses has a tough job. I'm going to lead God's people by myself. The devil is a liar, he said. Yet you haven't said a couple things. Who will you send with me? Yet you have said that I know you by name and that I found grace in your sight. How is it that I really know who you are, God? And how can I really say, oh, I have found grace, unmerited favor with God, if you're going to send me alone? Watch what he says in the next verse. Let's keep reading. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. He says, if you want me to know for sure that I have found grace with you, don't tell me you've had grace and then leave me. Show me your way so that I can walk in your way. Because I know that you just saying I found grace in your sight and then me trying to live my own life, that's not grace. That's not grace. The grace would be if you would show me the way. You show me the way, God. And so Jesus put it like this. They said, we don't know the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So what I want you to see is what he was doing is calling for Jesus. Show me the way. Jesus is the way. He's calling for Jesus. Moses is prophesying to you. There's no grace without the way. There's no grace without you. There's no grace without you. You can tell me if I found grace, but if I have found grace, show me the way, because I don't know the way myself. Isn't it amazing that God has put you on a journey and every one of you is expecting to get to heaven? But do me a favor. Give me the GPS coordinates of where you're headed. Tell me how you're going to get. Tell me how you're going to show up without God showing you the way. Show me how you know how to get there. How are you going to get there? Anybody know how they're going to get there? To the heavens, which are in the north of the universe, where there is a place that seems to be emptied out for something special in the universe. How are you going to get there? So, without the way, no one arrives. But so often, our relationship with God, if I have found grace in your sight, I'm not so much worried about the way. Give me a car. If I found grace in your sight, give me some money. If I found grace in your sight, bless me even when I don't do what you say. That'll mean grace to me. But there's a way. There's a way. Someone say there's a way. There's a way. Do you want God to show you the way? Do you really? Can you imagine God taking the time to show you the way? And then you walking another way. Where are you going today? What'd you do yesterday? Where are you going tomorrow? Where's your future? Where are you leading your family? Are you more worried about a home to be in or the presence of God? It's going to fade away. That home's fading. That home is fading. That home is fading. That job is just here for a drop in the bucket. That stuff is fading away. I heard the deacon say, seek ye, seek him first. Verse 14, and this is what the Lord says, my presence shall go with thee. You want to know that you have grace with God? Then his presence will show you the way. He won't just tell you the way, he'll show you. He will lead you. I will go with you, myself, my presence, your God. I'm going to go with you to show you that you have grace. I'm not just going to say, grace, now show up in a couple years. I'm going to show you the way, which will be my grace. So today, God is showing the way. And in the middle of God showing the way, unfortunately, the church seems lost. Church can't even agree to get along. Church fighting each other. You don't have to go to the Inquirer to hear the bad stuff about people in the church. Just talk to the members. Just talk to the body of Christ, and we'll put each other down for you. The Bible says a house divided won't stand, so the devil loves it, because that's not the way. He's trying to guide you in a different way. Don't forgive them, da-da-da-da-da. He said that my presence will go with you. And just so you know, when you're walking in God's presence, you're so reliant on Him forgiving you, you don't have time to hold odd against other people, because you're consumed with, how is it that He would forgive me? How is it that He would show me the way today? How is it that He has qualified me? It's nothing but His grace. And when you stand in God's presence, it's hard to hold aught against another. Right. It's hard to be mad about yesterday in God's presence today. It's hard. And so we, as the body of Christ, have to learn you're only His body if He's present. If He's not present, you're dry bones in Ezekiel's wilderness. You're dead things looking for life. But in His presence, there's freedom and life. So He made a promise. You want to know for sure that you're in grace? It will be my presence. We try to define things so simply and say, well, it's unmerited favor. I don't need God's presence for that. It just... Don't get mad at me when I do whatever I want. Don't be mad at me when I don't go your way. But still give me the blessings of your way. That's called grace in our sight. Is that right? Give me the way blessings as I walk another way. Help me to arrive when I don't follow your instructions. Oh, and when my enemy comes, then show up. When I need something, come calling. Outside of that, your presence... I'll call you when I need you. You ever had a friend that called you when they need you? And you know when the phone rings, oh, no. And it's usually the same thing. Oh, it's the 28th of the month, rent's about due. I know why they're calling me. When you find yourself being the friend, always reliant on the wealth of someone else in your life, you're not a friend. I just said it and turned around. You see how fast I did that? Verse 15, and He said unto him, if thy presence goes not with me, don't bring us. I don't want to go if you don't go. If you don't go, I don't go. Indy, you go, I go. You remember the little guy following Indiana Jones? You move, I move, Indy. And he put his steps right in Indy's steps. And where Indy stepped, little guy stepped. He said, if you don't go, I don't go. Some of us are just looking to get stuff from God to go without Him. I'll do today as long as I have enough money in my pocket. Give me some food to eat. But Moses, understanding grace, says, there's no grace unless you're present. That's not. How can we say we found grace? You can't even tell me, Lord, I found grace. I won't even accept if you say I have grace and you're not there. No, I won't do it. I won't even go. He did a sit-in. You thought the Democrats did a sit-in. Moses did a sit-in. I ain't moving these people without you. You want them to go? Come with me, Lord. Bring me, because I can't do it. It's okay to say I can't without you, Lord. It's okay to say that. It's okay to say I need you. I'm going to preach this thing. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in your sight? How's anyone going to know? Is it not that thou goes with us? The only way the world's going to know that you have found grace in God's sight is if He goes with you. You can tell them all day, oh, we're Christians and we're saved by grace, praise the Lord. But you're getting beat up by every devil. You're talking like the world. You're going wrong directions. You're not on the way. There's no glory present. How can you say that there's grace in your life? He said, listen, if we're going to know that there's grace, and if the world is going to know that there's grace presence with us, you have to be the grace. You, God, have to be the grace. So I want you to know, when you speak about the grace of God, does that cause you to follow Him closer? or cause you to drift farther away because no matter what you do is okay. We keep reading. So shall we be, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. The grace of God should cause him to be so close to you that he speaks to you by name. He doesn't just speak in the Bible to general people, but he speaks in the Bible, and you know he's talking right to you. You're so close with him that his word's speaking to you. It's intimate between you and him. It's personal with you and God. When God speaks, it's about you and him, and you don't hear him as though he's talking from heaven. You hear him present. The God who is speaking this word is present with you. He knows your name, and that's grace. That's grace. The idea that God would come to you, speak life to you, and bless you by name. You're on a name basis with God. Come on, Pastor. God knows you and you know him. Yeah. And he's present. That's the way. 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 To know his name, to know his presence, to be led by him, and him to speak to you. Oh, that's grace. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That, you know what that means? That means he's forgiven you. You don't have to wrestle with that then. If you're in that situation, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. That's grace. And God tells you personally, I forgive you, Brandon. Will you walk in the way? Will you follow me? Will you come with me? Will you let me bless you? Will you trust me? Next verse. You got to be like Moses. You got to learn how to push God. I know you're even better than that, God. And he said, I beseech you, show me thy glory. Okay, I know your name. You're present. You're going to remain present, and you're going to lead me all the way to where I'm going. You know me by name. Now, if I found grace, show me your glory. Show me who you really are. Show me who you really are. Let me be intimate with you. Let me put it like this. The question of show me your grace is similar for a husband on his wedding to unveil his bride to see her glory. It's intimate. And it's for him only. It's intimate. The wife doesn't show that to everybody. It's in this covenant. It's in this relationship. Let me see your glory. He said, I beseech you, Lord. I plead with you. Show me your glory. And now watch my God. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Someone say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. You know why goodness and mercy shall follow you? Because you're walking on the way with God, and in the presence of God's glory, it's goodness and mercy. So you don't walk without him and say, goodness and mercy are following me. I'm just such a good Christian that goodness and mercy are following me. No, it's not. Goodness and mercy are with God. And if God be present with you, goodness and mercy are right there. Is goodness and mercy present with you today? Is goodness and mercy present with you today? Well, then I would be looking at the goodness and mercy rather than problems and bondage. I'd be looking at goodness and mercy rather than trouble. What's more important in your day? God's presence or your problem. Whatever one you glorify is the one that's leading your life. Amen. I turn again. I'll make my goodness go before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. What he's suggesting is if you are able to see my glory, then I'm going to have mercy on you. If you want to see my glory, I'm going to have to put you in right relationship with me, because you can't earn this relationship with me. You have to receive it. And so in order to see God's glory, you have to be in relationship with God that he had to grant as grace and mercy. He had to reveal the opening to his presence, which is his name. Jesus put it like this: I am the door, or the entrance into. And without me, you can't come in. So nobody gets to see the glory without the name. Sometimes the glory shows up in miraculous healing. Sometimes the glory shows up. It shows up in whatever is needed. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. The glory shows up to show God is the supernatural overpowering the natural. He is the super over the natural. He is in authority over the weakness of flesh and earth and dirt. He is in power. And when you see that and you recognize that's the glory of God, it's him. And these results are coming about because of his presence. So if you see the glory of God, you can say God is here. I'll give you an example. The disciples went out fishing after Jesus had been resurrected. He showed up to them and said, how you doing? Peace be with you. And then he left and said, meet me in Galilee. They went to Galilee and got tired of waiting for God. So Peter said, I'm going a fishing. The other disciples said, I want to go fishing with you because we don't know what to do in the meantime. If God's not leading us, we don't know what to do. So we just go back to our old lifestyle. We go back to what we used to do. When God's not present, you'll go back. You'll go back. You'll go back to what you used to do. You'll go back to what you used to do. And that's why you're getting so frustrated. Why do I always keep going back? Because you go to his presence and then you leave it. The presence of God will sustain you in the way. He will sustain you in the way. And you will see his glory. So the disciples are fishing. And man, it seems like they went back to the beginning. They're catching nothing. Some of us have gone back to old things, still catching nothing. Praise Lord. Praise Lord, brother. How you doing? Another day, another dollar, working for the man. Just trying to pay these bills. The old lady's nabbing at me. And we just go back. We just go back. So now they're fishing. They can't catch anything, but they know he's resurrected. That must be so frustrating. Some of us know that God is good. We know he has forgiven us. We know, but then we find ourselves catching nothing. Nothing. And we look like those that have no grace. We look like those who God has forgotten. We look like those who have been abandoned. We look like orphans without a father who loves us. And so they're fishing, catching nothing. And the Lord shows up on the shore, but they don't know it's Jesus. They don't know who's talking to them. And he says, do you have any meat? And you know what he was saying? Do you have the word of God? Jesus put it like this: I have meat that you don't know about. This is what he told his disciples. They wanted to feed him. He said, I've already eaten. I have meat that you don't know about. My meat is to do whatever the Father says. All right. And so he asked them, do you have any meat out there? Or did you get yourself out there? And they say, no, we've caught nothing. So he gave them some meat. He said, go a little deeper. He gave them a word. He sent his presence to them. And it says when they obeyed what he said, they started catching so many fish. When they recognized that this great catch came from God being with them, The one who loved Jesus and Jesus loved John looked at Peter and said, it's him. He's here. He's present. And guess what they did when he was present? Peter jumped out of the boat and swam to him. Why? Because he left his own way to be present with him. Are you willing to leave your way to be present? Are you willing to leave your way? Scripture says they caught 153 fish that day. Their biggest catch ever. And it came from God being present and them trusting. They got to see his glory. They got to see that, oh, with God, all things are possible. It seems like if I caught 153 fish, if I ever went fishing again, I'd never go without God. Once I learned zero without him, 150 with him, 153 with him, why go fishing without my fishing buddy? That's my kind of buddy. Once I learned that the banjo lure catches fish, it was in the tackle box. Once you learn that God's presence is the only way, at what point do you go without him? God wants to do something crazy in your life. And it's going to be his presence. It's going to be his presence. You don't have to try to arrive to a place. You have to be present today. And the place will bow to him. The place that you're trying to get will bow to him if you're present with him. Show up with him and the place will bow to you. Show up by yourself and you'll bow to it. You'll bow to the place where God is trying to promote you because the place will bow to him. But when it sees you without him, oh, you climbed all the way up here to get smacked. Show me your glory. He says, if you want to see my glory, you can't see it without knowing my name. Isn't that amazing that he says you have to know my name? You want to see my glory, then I need to tell you who I am. I need to tell you my name. They were so happy that a man was healed at the gate Beautiful. Peter and John saying, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, rise up and walk. The lame man, being lame all of his life, gets up, starts dancing, praising the Lord. All the people want to know, how did this happen? How did this miracle, how did this power greater than power of the flesh come out? And they said, if you really want to know what power this came through the name of Jesus. Right. What he was saying is, no glory without the name. Yeah. You got to know the name. And so you know what the world told them? They said, okay, don't preach in that name anymore. That's why most of the world is not anti-God or anti-spiritual. They're anti-Christ. Because there's no other name given to man wherefore you can be saved. You can't be saved. And so they put it like this. Listen, children, here's one of our secrets. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do it in the name of Jesus. Why? So you can do it in the glory and the grace and the presence of God. I'm trying to tell you something today. Next verse. And he said, you cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. So watch what God has to do just to protect us. Verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me. I would say it's at his right hand. God said, there's a place by me, real close to me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. The Bible says Jesus is the rock of salvation. He's the rock of salvation. He's the rock of salvation. He says, I want you to get up on this rock. So anybody that wants to see the glory of God has to be in Christ. I'll show you. Watch what he says about this rock. Next verse. And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to put you inside the rock. And the rock is going to protect you that my glory doesn't consume you. That it's not going to... So you're going to be protected if you'll get in that rock. If you will get in that rock. And I want you to know, when worship was taking place, that was your invitation to get in the cleft of the rock. And so some of you have no expectation to see the glory because in your own worship, you won't go. Yeah. You'll sit on him and you'll watch and talk about how good or not they're singing. Talking about show me your glory. You don't want to see it from there. You don't want to see it from there. You need to see it from here. And it shall come to pass, I'm going to pass by you, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand, the right hand of God. Jesus is the right hand of God. Do you know that? You know the scripture says Jesus is the right hand of God? Do you know Jesus is the right hand of God? I'm going to cover you with my hand. Who's it talking about?
Jesus.
There's no other name. There's no other God. There's no other place. There's no other way. There's no other grace. I'm going to put you and I'm going to cover you. And I will take away my hand and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. You know what that means? As we're in God and he's covering us, and when he removes his hand, that's when we see the glory and we say, oh my God. Oh my. I've seen people laid out prostrate right here, and some people might say, well, what's going on right there? They're in the cleft of the rock. They're in the cleft of the rock. They're in the cleft of the rock. God's presence has become overwhelming. When God's presence overwhelms you, nothing else matters. I told some of you about the vision I had. I was at prayer, and there was nobody there at prayer but me. This was years ago. And so I had the ability to talk with God, and anything I asked him, this was amazing. I was just praying in the Spirit. I was just in the Spirit. The whole place was saturated with a cloud. And anything I asked God, he would answer me this quick. So I started asking him stuff about the saints. What about this person? What about this person? And it got to the point, before I could finish asking, he would tell me. Wow. And then I ended up laying prostrate on the ground, just laid down on the ground. And he brought me into a vision, and he took me, and I started to realize, wow, I left the atmosphere, and I'm near the moon somewhere. I'm up in the sky, and I started realizing that there are spirits up there. There's some warfare going on up there. And I started realizing that there were some entities that by myself were very scary. There are some things that are real that you can't just hide from them. They're real. And by yourself, they are frightful. But as I was up there, I looked back at the earth and I said, wow, this is where people should pray from, because their prayer can cover the whole earth. And God told me, that is exactly where you should pray from, but very few do. We pray from our low place, not from our heavenly place. That's why I said, build up your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in my presence. So then a horse without a rider showed up. And Orion drew his sword. And God showed me that this warring and his enemies were going to come to the earth. And it was like, well, wow. And then God started showing me that there are some creatures, some godly heavenly angels, that don't look like what you think they look like. There are some, just like in the sea, they might find something that they've never seen before. What makes you think you know what all the angels look like? There are some angels that don't look like a flying, beautiful Tinkerbell. There are some things, to this point, listen, the apostle John, who was in such intimate relationship with Jesus, he used to lay his head on Jesus, and he was the closest one to him. This same apostle John, who knew the Lord, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, who was a church leader, fell down to start worshiping an angel because the angel was so glorious. And the angel said, get up, we don't worship anybody but the one. I'm like you, I serve him too. Get up and do not worship me. The point is, if John would worship, start to fall down to worship an angel because he was so, can you imagine what that angel must have looked like? Can you imagine how he must have felt next to him? And now, guess what? These angels work for us as we walk with God. It says that they are ministering angels to minister whatever God speaks on our behalf. So as I knew that there was enemies around me, all of a sudden God turned me to the sun. And it was amazing how bright the sun was from the moon. And he started to, like from behind, there was a force pushing me. And I'm going towards it. And I start getting very fearful. I'm going towards the sun. And it's getting bright and bright and bright. And I'm moving, it seems like I'm moving slow, but yet I'm traveling distance fast. And I get to the point where I'm just about to touch it. And I realize that I'm afraid still, but I'm not hot. It's not hot. And all of a sudden, God put me through, and I went inside the sun. And inside the sun, it was just peace. It was quiet. And when I got inside the sun, the Lord asked me this question. Who's your enemy? In him, nobody can even approach. It will get burned up. There's nothing that can approach you here. There's nothing that can reach you here. Nothing can touch you here. And God is saying, come. I want you in me, and I'll be in you. I want you to see my glory. I want you to see my glory, but you're going to need to know my name. You're going to need to know the way. You're going to need it to be by my grace and not your own goodness. And you're going to need to walk it with me. You're going to need my presence. Turn with me to John 17. Verse 20 through 26. Jesus, the last prayer he prayed for his disciples before going to the cross. Listen to what he says. He says, neither pray I for these alone, my disciples, right here. I'm not just praying for those, but I'm praying for all of them which shall believe on me through their word. So I'm praying for them and anybody who receives me through their testimony of me. So this promise, you are one of the ones he's talking about when he says, I'm not just praying for them alone. Thank the Lord he didn't just pray for 12, bless 12 of them, and the rest of us have to walk without him. But he said anybody that would hear the words of the apostles and believe that I am the resurrected Christ, I'm going to give them the same reward. So whatever you think about John and Peter and Paul and their relationship with God, Jesus is saying, out of my own ability, I'm setting it up where you can be in that same place with me. I want you to be in the same place with me. Come here. It's not for those alone. It's not for those alone. Sometimes it seems like what God is doing is for everyone else. Sometimes it seems like we're looking from the outside in. But I want you to know God is looking from inside out.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
And he's not looking at you, judging your outside and then going inside. He's on the inside looking, can you see how marvelous this outside can be? He's looking at it from him being inside out. Would you keep reading this with me? Verse 21, I'll read, you just be with me. That they all may be one. Can't my life with God can't just be about me. But my life with God has meant me to connect with everybody else that's in Him. Anybody else in the cliff of the rock is with me. I'm with them. We're with each other. We are with each other. We are with each other. This is God's will. If you want to see my glory, grab your brother and your sister and let it be good. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Just so you know what's happening right now. Is God is just closing some dead lying doors. Yeah. And opening this brand new one. And this is Him. And He is going to lead you with by Himself. You're not going to have to trust a man to whether you're going the right direction. You're not going to have to trust someone else to tell you that God is there. It's going to be Him telling you personally. I want them to be one in us. God wants you to be one with Him and the Father. He wants you to participate in His glory. Can you believe that? That God wants you to participate in His glory? He wants you to participate in His glory. Pastor, does it say that? Well, let's find out. 22. And the glory which thou gave me. This is Jesus speaking to the Father. And how glorious was Jesus walking the earth? He made dead things come alive. Go ask Lazarus. He did. He walked on water. He took what was not enough and said, thank you, Father, for your glory being the real thing that I see. And the limit and the lack of this bread is not my source. And so He gave thanks for what was not enough. Why? Because He trusted the glory. And He's trying to give you that glory. Look it. And the glory which thou gave me, I have given them. What glory did He give him? Jesus walked around like this. All power and authority has been given to me. Everything that's the Father's is mine. He put me as the steward. I have it all. There's nothing in the universe that I don't control if I want it. Oh, and I'd like you to have it. I'd like you to have it. Maybe we're living too far below. When God's trying to call us up here and say, come in here. Come into me, the Son, and see who your enemy is. Who are you afraid of in me? I want you in us, and I want you to have this glory that the Father gave me. Can you believe Jesus said that? Today looks different from that vantage point. This is my cousin. Let's keep reading. 26. I'm in them. He's talking to his father. Father, I'm in them. This is Jesus. I'm in them. And they're in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. What he's saying is, I want the world to know I'm in them. I want to let it out. I want the good news to be told. I'm in them. I want the world to see it. They have found grace in my sight. How can the world see we have grace with God if he's not present? Moses said, not possible. We need God present. He says, I want the world to see. So I just want you to think about you and God. When you entered into covenant with God, he wants everybody to be a witness that you're one of his. He doesn't want you to have to prove you're one of his. He wants people to say, man, what's this joy? Haven't you heard the bad news? How come you didn't cuss me? How come you don't quit? Where are you even going? How come I didn't see you at happy hour? What way are you walking? Can I come with you? Can I come with you? And you know what God said? He said, even if a foreigner wants to come walk with Moses, he said, Moses, if a foreigner wants to join up, as long as they will come into the way with us, they're all welcome. They're all welcome. And if they come in, then they get the glory too. There's things that have been trying to hold you on the outside, but God's been laughing on the inside. He said, you don't get it from the outside. He said, you don't get it from the outside. I don't deal with you from the outside, but you're in me. You're in me and I'm in you. And I want you to see my glory. We're almost done here. Let's keep reading. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. I want them present with me. Say present. That they may behold my glory. I want them to see my glory. It's my will. I want them to see it. Father, I want show them, let them see it. Let them be with me to see it. Let them see my glory. Which means when God says he wants to be part of your life today, it's because he wants you to see his glory. Don't go a day without seeing the glory of God. Don't go a day without seeing the glory. He is with you so you can see him. We're there. I want them to see the glory which you gave me, for thou loved me before the foundation of the world. Remember, he said, from the beginning, in the beginning, God. He was already present. He was full of glory. Jesus took off his glory and sat it down to come die for you and put on the flesh to look and act like you and me, except he was moved by the Spirit. He died for you. He paid the price. He went to hell. He came back up. He rose to the right hand of the Father. And from there, he poured his Spirit on you so that you can be in right relationship with him. And now he's present with you. And he's going to have grace on those who he wants to have grace. And he's going to show mercy to who he wants to have mercy. And no man can bring an accusation. He said, I'm not listening to you. I'm gonna be merciful on who I want to be merciful. It's my goodness. I can do what I want with it. And he's trying to tell you, I want you to have it. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee. They don't know your glory. They don't know your way. They don't know your name. I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. In verse 26, I have declared thy name. No glory without the name. Father, I gave them the key. I gave them access. I've offered them the way. And now show them the glory. Would you stand? I don't care how you walked in. I don't care how you walked in. I don't care what seemed to be overshadowing you when you walked in. But I want you to know what God has offered today.